You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgee.
Everyone's a winner, baby.
Good morning.
How are you, Jenna Barr?
I'm very well. I'm excited to be able to hang out with you, and you brought a friend to hang out with us today.
I brought an expert.
He's an expert first. You're not, okay.
You're an expert first, friend last. The reason he's a friend is because he's an expert, you know? So I got to tap into that every now and then.
I'm sliding money under the desk here to Bob Bergie.
Say nice things, Bob.
All right. So how's everybody doing? Did you have a nice weekend?
Well,
I'm the only one that asks if you had a nice weekend on Tuesday, right?
You are. Yeah. Actually, I feel more loved when you come in. I will tell you that. So the rest of you, shape up. But I'm just kidding. Did you get to go to the Bicentennial at all? Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like that.
I do know what you're talking about.
Did you, John?
I was there.
So maybe that's where we met.
You know what? This is very interesting because you two, you know, have certainly met each other before. Okay. But John was in the Bicentennial celebration, right?
I was, yes.
Okay.
He was representing his tribe. And I'm not using that word as slang. He's truly in a tribe.
I was there with the Santa Rosa Creek tribe.
That is where I met you. I was there for, first of all, the sunrise service was beautiful. I was absolutely blown away. I was so glad that I woke up at 5 o'clock to come and enjoy it. It was very special. I think you guys had a guest appearance as well. I don't know who that guy was, but that was just extra on top. I think I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But overall, so we celebrated the Bicentennial and Florida's territorial Bicentennial as well. Mm-hmm. And overall, it was just really fun to be a part of it. And I think I told you this before, that my youngest child shares a birthday with Escambia County, and so she was able to celebrate her birthday alongside Escambia.
Yes, I knew that, and I heard you talking about her birthday on the radio on Monday, yesterday.
So it was probably the hottest day yet of the year. Mm-hmm. Really glad that Mother Nature held out until mm-hmm. people were in costume and suits sitting in the sun. So that was perfect. But all around, it was a really good weekend. You didn't get to make it down.
You know, I live a couple blocks away, and I'm embarrassed that I wasn't there. Yeah. So thanks, John. Thanks, Jenna.
We should have texted him.
Yeah, let me know next time. We love going downtown. That's why we live downtown, and getting on our bikes and doing things like that. But this summer has been really difficult because you're dodging the rain.
What's with that?
Every time we say let's go for a bike ride, let's go for a walk, and 10 minutes later it's raining.
And it rained on us early in the morning on Saturday.
Before
it was like a blessing service that started. Also, can I say real quick cool it was? Yes, a rain dance. There wasn't a lot of dancing, but really beautiful singing. And at the end, these crows flew over all of us, like random. I don't really see crows too often, except for like maybe at a random park. But these crows flew over us, and I forget his name, but he shared with us that crows are very significant.
Yeah, Chief Dan Helms with the Santa Rosa Creek tribe.
Okay, and name what's the name drop? What's the significance with the crows again?
Yeah, so in Creek culture, crows are representative of messengers to heaven. And
how
so the
cool
fact that we were doing our blessing and crows flew over was pretty special.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And was I allowed to share any of that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's good. If you missed out, that's something we plan to do more of in the community, is doing more outreach. So
I love that.
All right. So,
very cool.
All right. I'm going to get us back on track. Imagine that, me. Okay. Today we have John Ellis here. John David Ellis, to be specific. And John is a local real estate broker. He is the owner, founder, and principal at Voyage Real Estate here in Pensacola. John and I are good friends. We've known each other a long time. He's very young, so it couldn't have been that long, right? But I actually met John probably 10 years ago. He had just graduated from...
Well, longer than that, even.
Really? Okay. He had graduated from college, and he had just become a real estate agent, and he was an agent for a few years, then opened his own real estate brokerage firm, and is one of the youngest, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you were one of the youngest real estate brokers in the state of Florida at the time, correct?
Yeah, one of the youngest broker owners.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Anyway, he started Voyage Real Estate in 2016. Since then, he has helped create, you know, what we all know is an award-winning company here in Pensacola. He has been recognized as winning Startup of the Year from the Studer Community Institute, runner-up for the Studer Community Institute's Entrepreneur of the Year, and a finalist for NAR's 30 Under 30 in 2020. Anyway, he is laying the foundation to grow the Voyage brand beyond Pensacola and the state of Florida. So anyway, do you do business in Alabama as well?
Yes. We don't have a huge presence in Alabama, right, but I am a licensed broker in Alabama, as well as Tennessee, actually.
Gotcha. Anyway, as I said, John's a good friend, and we're delighted to have him here on the show, and we are talking about real estate, specifically local real estate here in Pensacola and the surrounding area. And one of the things I'd like John to do as we, you know, start the show here is share with us really almost a state of the market, of the state of the real estate market here in Pensacola. Go, John.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the most common questions I get. You know, I'm in the grocery store and everybody says, hey, how's the market? Just kind of a broad strokes here. In the Pensacola Association, so that's, you know, basically Perdido to Pace Milton and everywhere in between, June was our best month ever within the association. Q2 this year was our best quarter ever.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of people talk about how the market feels. It feels like it's pretty frothy. There's a lot of business being done, a lot of houses being sold.
Second quarter was the best ever in terms of the number of homes or the volume in dollars?
Both.
Wow. Okay.
We're also at record low levels of days on market.
Okay.
Our average days on market right now is around 20 days.
Okay. Wow. So from the day it's listed until the day it sells or is under contract is about 20 days?
From listing to close. Yeah.
Wow.
What? No.
Wow.
That's on
that
average right now.
That is strong.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm sorry to do this. Go back to the first statistic that you read.
June being the best month ever and Q2 being the best quarter ever.
Okay, so we are in high times.
Very much so.
In real estate. Okay. You mentioned the area, and you said from Perdido to Milton and up.
I like to say Pace just because of the alliteration.
Okay, Pace. Does it include all of Santa Rosa County or just that part affiliate, you know, I guess associated with the MSA,
That's
Pensacola?
Where it gets a little fuzzy just because of the way that the MLS system is set up.
Okay.
Parts of Navarre, sometimes they will be listed in our system and sometimes they're listed in the neighboring MLS system, the Emerald Coast Association.
Okay. So we can loosely say Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah, keep going. This is fascinating.
The other big stat that I pulled out was the median sale price. The median sale price is currently $288,000, which, you know, from the time when I started back in 2012 as a real estate agent, I mean, I think we're almost half that. So the fact that we're here today, you know, is pretty astounding.
Wow. All right. So, John, where do you think this is all going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, it's tough for me. I tell people I don't have a crystal ball. I don't like to forecast too much. But, I mean, I think the biggest factor right now is the sheer lack of inventory and interest rates. So until we move those knobs, so to speak, the market is what it is. I think, you know, the Fed has said that they're going to plan on raising rates in 2023.
Right.
So I think, you know, from now until then, the market is just going to kind of be this way.
Okay. You brought up a great topic or subject when you mentioned interest rates. So interest rates being low, I guess, sort of have the effect of bringing down the cost of the real estate. And, you know, how do you think that has affected real estate sales in the area?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, effectively the Fed is telling you, hey, you should borrow money.
Right.
We're making it cheap for you to borrow money.
Right.
So they're kind of sending a signal to the market by lowering interest rates the way that they did.
Right.
You know, I think the biggest misconception, a lot of people are looking at home prices and they say, well, you know, the same house that's selling for $300, I could have bought for $250, you know, just a couple years ago.
Right.
Well, the reality is it's also a lot cheaper to borrow the money to buy that house.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of people, you know, it's just a lack of understanding. They think that, you know, developers are greedy or sellers are being greedy. It's really just kind of supply and demand.
Yeah. And I know in my travels or certainly when I'm sitting with clients, you know, it's, you know, when we see debt, we may have, you know, we've got bad debt, we've got good debt. And, you know, when I see a mortgage, especially one that's been secured of late, you know, you just can't, you can't go wrong there. It's very, very cheap money. Now, of course, you know, I got to weave taxes into everything, but
sure.
the tax deductibility of the mortgage interest for a lot of folks is no longer there because of the $25,000 standard deduction for married filing jointly. But when you can secure funds for 30 years at less than 3%, I mean, that's really strong.
Yeah, we just closed one at like 2.85.
It's yeah, insane. And you know, from where I stand, how do you tell somebody to pay that off? You really can't, you know, because basically you're saying, you know, you're basically saying I can't grow your money as quickly, you know, as well as 2.85%, right? But I don't think the deductibility of the mortgage interest has slowed anybody down.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're selling, in this past month, we sold 1,200 homes, which again, best ever on record.
Right.
And we're barely replacing the amount of homes that we're selling.
Okay.
So well, effectively, you know, from one month to the next, we're cycling through inventory.
And I shared with John, you know, I guess a couple of weeks ago before we scheduled this, you know, when I'm meeting with clients, and you know, I don't think we have a client that doesn't own real estate, and it becomes, you know, if it's appreciated in value so much, it's become a very large item or allocation of their net worth or their portfolio, and you need to be knowledgeable, you need to be able to address it. So, you know, one of the questions I get, and I want to hear your take on it. Is whether the $250,000 exemption, the homestead exemption per person, or $500,000 for a married couple, whether that's here to stay, or do you think it might be going away?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't have any strong opinions about that. I mean, I feel like, you know, anything that we can do to encourage home ownership,
right,
is a good thing. And I think obviously being in the state of Florida, generally speaking, that's something that we're pro.
Right. And the homestead exemption, of course, is, you know, something that is very sacred. That's federal. It's not state. But we rank that right up there, you know, when Annalie and I are talking to folks, right up there with, you know, is Social Security going to run out? No.
It's kind of a fundamental aspect. You know,
yeah. Is the state of Florida going to start assessing state income taxes? No. You know, other things where, you know, these sort of sacred things. And I consider the homestead exemption on the sale of your homestead sacred. So I don't think it's going away. I hope not, at least. Anyway, take us through some of the things we should be looking for as prospective home buyers.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously if you're a home buyer, you know, then I'm going to speak primarily towards someone who's buying a home to live in, not necessarily for investment. I mean, the biggest thing right now with the nature of the market being the way that it is, I'm encouraging people to just be patient, right? We're struggling with lack of inventory. And if you're in a position where you have a timeline, you know, you're not trying to buy a house tomorrow necessarily. Right. Just kind of be patient and let inventory cycle through.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of scratch and dent real estate out there. You know, sellers see the market is up. Mm-hmm. And so rather than taking on that maintenance that they've deferred, they're just going ahead and putting their house on the market. And so, you know, as an agent, I'm trying to be an advocate for that buyer. I'm trying to, you know, as best as I can, sort of point out some of the pitfalls with buying, you know, scratch and dent real estate.
Okay.
There's also some finance stuff that we can talk about later to help people navigate that.
Yeah, and certainly with my clients, you know, a lot of people are trying to get away from the maintenance, you know, the maintenance that never ends. And we have folks that travel up north, and guess what? They want to go up north during the summer. And that's when everything is just growing, you know, and you can't keep up with it. So, yeah, the maintenance, and then, you know, if you live on the water and hurricanes and everything, you know, later in life, I think you kind of lose your appetite for that, right?
Sure.
And
we see it all the time.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question I have for you. And I think a lot of our listeners, and by the way, please give us a call here at News Radio 1620 or 92.3 on the FM. Our number here is 850-437-1620. We have John David Ellis here of Voyage Real Estate. And if you have any questions, especially questions real estate related, we have the expert here today. Okay, here's my question. What percent of this new construction that we are seeing downtown are spec homes, spec properties? What percent do you think, or do you know?
I don't have a specific figure off the top.
Is it close to 100%?
I would say most of the new construction we see in downtown Pensacola, you know, because we don't have huge tracts of land to be developed in downtown. So, you know, we're talking a different tier of builder.
Right.
You know, very rarely do you see, say, the D.R. Hortons, with few exceptions, of course.
Yeah, but of course, they did that property right over there. What is it? Used to be the old Hallmark school?
Yeah, the Hallmark townhomes.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that project with a bigger tier builder, I mean, that was purely spec. Mm-hmm. You know, they can afford to take that risk.
Right.
A lot of the smaller builders, you know, the strategy that they're using is they're basically putting together a development package. They're putting it out to the market, and they're trying to get pre-sales.
Right.
It allows them to kind of, you know, defer the risk.
Okay, so let me I'm going to try and pin you down because you it's
did
of
I talk
course,
around it?
no of course it's not 100%, but let me tell you what a typical conversation of mine goes like. What is going on downtown? I mean, everybody wants to be, I'm not saying right downtown, but close to downtown.
Sure.
There's a lot of energy downtown. I think young people, middle-aged people, and older people, you know, like being downtown. You know, certainly the older people seem to have a lot of disposable income, and that's where, you know, I think we have a concentration of restaurants and so on, you know, sure. and so forth, activities on the weekends. It's just, if you have idle time, it's a great place to be. But the question I get is, who is buying these properties downtown?
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of the sort of young professional, and then the other end, you know, the empty nesters.
Right.
You know, as far as families go, I mean, typically we're seeing families move. If they're in Escambia County, typically they're moving more towards, like, say, the Cordova Park
right.
area. Or even, you know, further north. Like, obviously, there's a lot of new construction happening in Beulah. But as far as downtown, I mean, it really is, you know, people like me who were starting families, mm-hmm. you know, still not quite there yet. And then people like you, Bob, on the empty
people
nester
like
side.
You, Bob.
you people. Yeah.
I love that.
Well, you know.
I had to get a dig in.
Hey,
that was so good.
I can say this. I was downtown before it was cool.
That's true.
Way before
you made
it cool,
Bob. Yeah. Come on. Just say it.
Yeah.
But, you know, to kind of get back to your question, I mean, I think that's the market right now. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of 2-bedroom, 2.5-bath, which is not exactly the most convenient floor plan.
Right.
But if, you know, if you're a young person or even if you're an empty nester, yeah, you need a guest bedroom for your kid who comes home from college, maybe.
No, you don't.
But
depends on which kid.
Yeah. Good point.
That's
good point.
True.
But yeah, that's what we're seeing. And one thing that's interesting in regards to COVID is the influx of out of towners.
Yeah.
And you know, you hear about the person from California that sold their house and is paying cash for something here in Pensacola. You know, that sounds kind of far fetched, but we're seeing it.
Yeah,
you know.
And to everyone else, it's still dirt cheap here in Pensacola, right?
Oh, I mean, we've heard it often lately. We just had a couple that sold their townhome in D.C. that they bought in the 90s. And, you know, to them, everything down here looks like it's on clearance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think they sold their, like, 1,600-square-foot townhome for 1.1.
Stop.
Something.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, and I know we're going to a break here in about 60 seconds, but Connie and I attended a function with some friends of ours, and it was, you know, just sort of one of these social dinner group things. And other than our friends, everybody we met had moved here in the last 2 or 3 years. You know, so not necessarily COVID related, but they had moved here over the last couple of years from somewhere else. And I'm talking about from Kansas City, Chicago, Colorado, and they couldn't be happier. And, you know, even the people that have purchased in the last year that, you know, bought it, you know, what we would call sky high prices here locally, you know, are talking about what they got for their home someplace else
right.
and rolled it over here in Pensacola. And, you know, it's looks like a deal to them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly something, you know, for nerds years from now to go back and study what's happening now.
He was looking at you, Jenna.
I just don't even know why. But so, is it the hat? I don't know.
No, I'm the empty nester. You're the nerd. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you'll take
this
it.
Is
I still
my
have
last
babies.
Time being on yeah. the show, I'm sure.
You're never coming back, John.
Yeah. All right. Are we going to to the news right now? Or
yeah. Right. Good timing. You did
right.
it in
perfect.
2 seconds. I love that, Bob. You're becoming a natural. You just can't steal my job. I'll come fight you. Hey, Mark, how's it going over there in the newsroom?
Doing okay. Some Floridians are planning to set sail for Cuba later this week, sort of. We'll have that story coming up after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. A senior aide to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tests positive for coronavirus after meeting with Democrats in the Texas legislature in D.C. pushing for federal voting laws. We're told he's had no contact with Speaker Pelosi since his exposure. The rise in coronavirus cases, hospitalizations, and deaths nationwide is not uniform, says CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
Vaccine coverage varies by state and by county. Communities where people remain unvaccinated are most vulnerable and most likely to experience increasing case counts.
She's been answering senators' questions this morning. There's word of a deal to settle opioid lawsuits.
The three biggest U.S. drug distribution companies, along with drug maker Johnson & Johnson, are reportedly in the final stages of a $26 billion settlement, covering thousands of claims and lawsuits over the toll of opioids, the addiction, and overdose crisis across the nation.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 78 and cloudy. There's rain in the area this morning. I'm Mark Jacobs. More than 100 boaters in Florida plan to set sail for Cuba Thursday. Organizers want to let people on the island nation know they are supported in their calls for freedom. They won't actually cross into Cuban waters, but will get close enough to shoot flares. Comes as protests continue for a second week in Miami, Orlando, and Tampa, in a show of solidarity. A man already accused of video voyeurism at a place of worship is now facing more charges after deputies arrested him for a third time late last week. 37-year-old David Nims already facing charges for allegedly videotaping people in a bathroom at the Calvary Baptist Church. Now ECSO investigators say he's accused of putting up more cameras, including at his wife's workplace and his home. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
We do have a 90% chance of rain. A few breaks out there with those temperatures rising in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, temperatures will drop into the mid 70s. A few rain showers could continue, and the rain chance will continue into tomorrow. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
78 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are sharply higher after yesterday's sell-off. The Dow Industrials up 537 at 34,499. The NASDAQ's up 168. The S&P 500 up 59. Semiconductor manufacturer GlobalFoundry says it will build a second factory near its Malta, New York headquarters and spend $1 billion to boost output to address the global chip shortage. The factory will double the site's chip-making capacity and add 1,000 jobs. The Wall Street Journal last week reported Intel was exploring acquiring Global Foundries for $30 billion. The Justice Department has announced the unsealing of an indictment charging four Chinese nationals with a years-long effort to hack into computer systems of a dozen companies, universities, and governments in the U.S. and at least 11 other countries. The two-count indictment names the four residents of China in connection to the schemes, three of whom are identified as officers with an arm of China's intelligence service. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jenna Barr, you have outdone yourself on the music.
Oh, you like this one?
I like this
one. Good.
That's very good.
A little Queen, a little David Bowie. Gets your...
Yeah.
It's not even the good part yet. We got to, like, really let them enjoy it.
Well, I didn't know when to start talking. I thought you might shut it down. So you can keep it going.
There you go. Now Bob's dancing. He's really getting into it.
Yeah, right.
Uh-oh, he's going to fall out of his chair. All
right. John, that's a band called Queen. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you?
They were in the movie recently, right?
Oh, my word. That does make me feel a little old.
Just kidding. Yeah,
of
John.
I know Queen.
He would be at the bottom end of my kids. Okay, he wouldn't even be my middle child. Okay, you're young.
But I'm an old soul.
Wise beyond your years. I've told you that you are an old soul, and that's why I like him. Okay, now I just learned something else. The first half of the show is called The Top of the Hour.
Yeah, the first segment.
Okay. Now, here we are at the bottom of the hour. But for those listeners that didn't hear John David Ellis's statistics, I'd like you to repeat those.
Yeah, I can share those again. So June, this past month, was the best month ever on record for the Pensacola Association of Realtors. That's in number of sales and volume. And Q2 was the best quarter ever on record. We're at the lowest days on market ever recorded at 20 days.
20 days
on average.
The market. Okay.
Some listeners are probably thinking, well, my house has been on the market for 30 days.
So one of the statistics you didn't mention, but and you may have it off the top of your head, inventory levels. I'm sure they're low, but how low are they?
Yeah, we're currently, I checked this morning, I think we're at like 983 properties that are active.
Okay. 983 properties. What is the lowest it's ever been? 700s?
Yeah, I think back in January we had lower amounts of inventory, around 700, but we weren't selling as many. I mean, we sold 1,200 just in June alone.
Okay. So... although the inventory levels are a little higher, they're selling more rapidly.
Absolutely.
Okay. And for more. Interesting. Okay. All right. So we talked about buying a home. We talked about financing. We talked about interest rates. And we touched on property taxes. I think the next topic we'd like to cover is selling a home. Okay, and what is the thought process that goes into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now if you're even contemplating selling a home, you know, you really should engage an agent and talk about that process.
Right.
I think the biggest thing is just having a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I may, I'm going to use a Mike Tyson quote.
You know,
everybody,
let's just go for it. I can't wait.
Everybody thinks they have a plan until they get punched in the face. I mean, that's really kind of the nature of the market right now. Even people that we've worked with that, you know, we're trying to anticipate the amount of activity.
Right.
We've just been blown away. recently, we had a property, newer property in downtown Pensacola. We were pricing it under 300, which is kind of a sweet spot in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew we were going to get multiple offers. We had already kind of talked the sellers through that process, how they wanted to handle it. And we still ended up with 12 offers.
Okay, I got to interrupt you. Yeah. Why were you asking the price you did if you knew you were going to get multiple offers?
I mean, the challenge with the market right now is we could put $1 million price tag on a home, say.
Right.
And if we know that home will only appraise for $750, what's the sense in putting a higher price tag on it? And that's the challenge that we're running
because
into.
You know you're going to run into folks that want to purchase it and have to get financing to
Absolutely.
Do so. Okay. Huh. You don't think that somewhere out there there's just some cash buyer that's going to
I mean, there
pay
are
it.
Those.
Yeah.
We encountered that mythical cash buyer on this property. They financed the amount that they could,
mm-hmm.
And paid $60,000 above what it appraised for in cash.
Oh, Mike, I should have let you finish the story, right? Right. Okay, I'll keep my mouth shut. But, okay, so you had it priced at somewhere around $300?
$299.
Okay, yeah. You got multiple offers, and somebody, a cash buyer, came through paying, what is that, 20% more than asking?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say that that's probably an exception.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's the kind of value that an agent brings. You know, we're encountering a lot of for sale by owners.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame folks. I mean, in the market that we're in, if you were to sell your house, you know, there's a ton of buyers out there. Right.
Right.
But when it comes to showing a property, when it comes to fielding those offers and, you know, just making a decision on how you want to handle multiple offers. Not every homeowner is aware of all the tools in the toolkit to
right.
to navigate that process.
Okay, so two things I've heard before, and I've got to give them some sort of credibility, but
sure.
I want you to weigh in on this. 1 year ago, we were in a bad place, right? Things weren't going so well. Everything was shut down, the global pandemic. I've heard this from more than one person. A lot of people, after spending a lot of time in their home, you know, looking at their house, said, you know what? I'm getting a bigger house because I'm spending so much time here. I'm working from home, okay? And it just makes sense to upgrade now. Plus, they've got a lot of time on their hand. They're on Zillow or whatever they're doing. Comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly if you have to spend a lot of time in your home, you tend to care more about
right.
what your home is.
Right.
We've seen that a lot with folks that were renting. You know, it's one thing to live in a 1-2-bedroom apartment when you're not there
right.
half the time. But, yeah, now that I have a lot of friends that work at a local credit union, and they're all remote right now.
Right. Right, and not only that, but a lot of kids are staying at home more. You know, we had a daughter who's in grad school bounce back to the house, and because she was in grad school and she was given the option to finish her last year of grad school remotely or on campus in Louisiana. So she chose to come home, and we're talking about a 24-year-old, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, that was the first thing. People, you know, kind of laying around the house, working from home. Maybe another dynamic is, you know, they're doing their caring for their parents, caring for their children, and there's more people in the house, and they say, you know what, I need a bigger home. Or, conversely, the people that we're considering moving or downsizing, choosing not to, because all of a sudden, my goodness, we need this room because we have everybody here all the time. I'm working from home, and, you know, we just can't downsize, not right now.
I think we're going to see that impact the type of housing that gets built in the future as well. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more designated home office space.
Right.
You know, generally people who need a 3-bedroom home, they buy a 4-bedroom, so they have that 4th bedroom to be sort of the flex workout room,
right.
office, what have you.
Right.
I think we're going to see...
Or maybe 2 bedrooms, one being used as the office, one being used as the workout room. I mean, you're exactly right.
I think we're going to see a lot more intentional design when it comes to that, just as a result of the past year.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so selling a home. Let's go back to that. What are the things you look for? Obviously, listing it with a professional, and having it
to say that,
on the MLS. Yeah, no, but really, I mean, it certainly makes a difference. You know.
Well, and I think, you know, we're not contractors by any means, but to be able to do that walkthrough with a homeowner and sort of point out the things that would gum up a sale.
Right.
You know, typically we're looking for any major items, you know, electrical, plumbing, that sort of thing. We're looking for wood rot. And so having that walkthrough, I think, before you go to market is critical. If, you know, we're average days on market is 20 days, you put your house under contract and then something gets flagged in an inspection, you've lost all that time on the market.
Sure. Okay. I want to get back to financing. Okay. And that's, you know, that's something we, you know, we know. Would you say that the underwriting has been relaxed a little bit since, say, 5 years ago or even 3 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago?
I mean, typically it's driven by the type of financing.
Right.
Right. So your VA and FHA appraisals, and not to get in the weeds, but those types of financing are typically stricter than a conventional home loan.
Okay. I had a conversation the other day with somebody your age who's getting 97% financing.
Wow.
As a first-time home buyer, and doesn't have, you know, incredible income, but strong income, I guess. But nothing like what I would think to be able to purchase, you know, a home of that value. But I just, you know, 97% financing, that's, you know, that's really kind of sticking your neck out there for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen 100% financing.
Wow.
And, you know, it just comes down to, you know, not all lenders are created equal. They all have their own unique products. And so, you know, for a seller, would that give me cause for concern if someone's utilizing 97% financing? Not really. I mean, I the biggest thing I would say for sellers is making sure that that buyer that's making an offer on your home has a true pre-approval letter. The difference between, say, a pre-qualification letter and a pre-approval is simply that that lender has taken the necessary steps to vet the buyer's income, to vet their employment, to vet their credit score.
Right.
I mean, we had situations where deals blew up because people lost their jobs during COVID.
Sure. Sure.
You know, so they're only verifying their employment, you know, the week of closing.
I see an awful lot of spec homes being built, whether they're condos, townhomes, and yeah, I live downtown and I see a lot of it, and I think there's a higher concentration of spec homes being built downtown than in what I would call the suburbs. Would you agree that once that supply gets to a certain point, is that when we see a downturn?
Yeah, I mean, we've underbuilt for so long.
I agree.
I think, you know, I can remember it wasn't until recently, 2017, 2018, that lenders really started getting aggressive with construction financing. You know, if you weren't a big builder.
And you're talking about the local market.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see, you know, you go to Tallahassee, you go to Mobile, and you see all of these, you know, apartment complex, condominiums, even, you know, in and around downtown or even out in the suburbs. It doesn't seem like we have a lot of that here. We certainly do not have a lot of multifamily.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
homes.
When it comes to small multifamily, you know, duplex, triplex, quadplex,
yes,
that sort of thing. I think the last I checked, you know, we had 13 active listings that were multifamily, you know, so.
Why isn't somebody coming in and building fourplexes?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, you know, because I do think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah.
Certainly that's a topic that we discuss with our clients that are interested in, you know, more of the investment side of the business.
Yeah.
Construction, you know, materials have been really expensive. Labor has been a challenge,
right?
You know, and that's Hurricane Sally, that's COVID, you know. So, but I think we're going to see that kind of ease up a little bit. I think we're going to see more construction happening.
Exactly. Okay.
Hey, can I interrupt real quick? Listen, I'm Jenna, and I'm still here.
Oh, hey, Jenna.
Hey, John. Hey, Bob. We're gonna just take a quick break. I want to remind people, 850-437-1620. We have about 9 minutes left here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Winning with Mainstay, Bob Burgi is here. Question, though, for you. Where does John see the remarket going in 2022? It's like we're already approaching it, I feel like. And when do you think it will correct?
Yeah. Again, I try to shy away from, you know, being a prognosticator of where the market's going to go. But, you know, I think we still have a lot of runway. I mean, there's the inventory problem doesn't go away overnight. You're kind of touching on that, Bob. Like, mm-hmm. what happens when we start sort of overbuilding?
Right.
I mean, I think... just
we're not even close.
I don't think we're even close. There's so many opportunities. I think there might be pockets, right? I mean, I hear some of the numbers out in Beulah and just the sheer amount of development that's happening out there. Maybe that market, that sub-market gets a little overbuilt.
And do we see it take place in sort of these bellwether markets or bellwether states like California or Colorado or Arizona before it happens here? Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, you know, because California and New York, mm-hmm. I mean, I think New York actually...
I left the East Coast alone because, yeah, I mean...
I heard recently we have more than 1,000 people a day...
moving out of the city.
Moving to Florida.
Oh, okay. I thought you were picking on New York City.
No, I think
they've got their own issues. Yeah.
But not gonna
deny that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a big influx into Florida, and I think as long as that's the case, I mean, we're not just talking about the next big employer,
right?
You know, we're talking about just the fact that people are moving to Florida,
right,
for the quality of life,
state income taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, so many things.
So I guess to get back to the question.
When's the bubble going to burst, John?
I think the biggest thing is until interest rates move,
right?
I don't know that we're going to see a dramatic shift in the nature of the market. I think interest rates going up, you know, again, right now, interest rates being low, they're telling us borrow money.
Yeah.
Money is cheap, borrow it. When they start raising that rate, again, that's a market signal like, hey, money is getting more expensive to borrow.
Yeah. And I was with a client yesterday, and their question was, should I refinance? And I said, well, you know, I hate to answer a question with a question, but how long do you plan on staying in this home? I said, oh, we're never leaving. And, you know, what is your current interest rate? And I think it was like 4.25. I said, absolutely. Refinance if you plan on staying there. You know, that's a very good move. And you know, I know that, you know, you're not the bank, you're not the mortgage company, but do you get a lot of questions from your clients or previous clients who asked the question about refinancing?
Yeah, I mean, I got a Facebook message from a past client. They had purchased within the past year and a half,
and already.
Yeah, I mean, they were already at a great rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told them, I was like, I don't know that it makes sense for you. I think they're at like 3.25. So, yeah, I mean, when you have an interest rate like that, does it make sense for you to shave off 0.4 of a point? Probably not.
No, I don't think it does. Yeah.
But when I first purchased my home back in 2018, I had, I mean, that was, if you look back at a chart, that was like the peak of interest rates
over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think I got like a 5.25 interest rate, and
okay.
So yeah, it made sense for me to refi.
Okay.
And now I'm at like 3.5 or something like that. So.
Excellent. Yeah, well, I mean, there may be one more chance, but I think that's you know, that's going to, I'm not going to say slowly disappear, but you know, it depends on what the near term really is over the next year. Possibly sometime in 2022, but certainly in 2023, I think we can. I think we are going to see interest rates creep up.
Yeah, I mean, that's, the Fed has told us that.
Yeah,
you know, so now that's not to say that they can't change course, but they've basically said in 2023 we're going to start raising interest rates.
Yeah.
So, you know, for anyone that's even thinking about refinancing, you know, I think, yeah, within the next 12 months, now's your chance to do it.
Yeah. And certainly raising interest rates has an inverse effect on inflation. You know, it reduces inflation, and that's the big bad wolf these days is inflation. And if it's a slippery slope. You want the economy to thrive. You want the economy to keep chugging along, but not too fast to where it runs out of gas. So I think raising interest rates is in the future. And there's two ways to handle that. You can build it into the specs by announcing that we're probably going to have an interest rate hike in 2023, or you can go ahead and do it. And it might have the same effect. But certainly, if you are in a higher interest rate mortgage and you wish to refinance, I can't imagine a better time to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole show we've been talking about historic highs, historic lows.
Right.
I mean, this is kind of an unprecedented time, and certainly the same is true of interest rates right now.
Yeah, yeah. I wanna hit on one other topic, and it's a question that we get a lot: buying versus renting. We see interest rates going, interest rates are low. It's, in terms of interest rates, it's never been more affordable to jump into a house, right, as a buyer. Now, prices have gone up. The other side of that is renting. And the amount of rent people are paying in and around this area, what has it doubled in the last 5 years? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, we do a little bit of property management as well, and we had a property that we rented for $1,200, and one cycle later, 12 months later, that same property we were renting for like $1,700.
Good grief! Yeah, that's incredible. So that's about a 40% increase in between one-year term renter. Wow!
And part of its location, the
downtown.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So the edge of downtown is one of these things that keeps kind of moving. Mm-hmm. You know, the area that people find to be desirable. So, of course, if you're going to be in Pensacola for any amount of time, I'd say more than a year or two, yeah, you should consider buying.
Well, good. We have about 45 seconds, John, and what I'd like to do is have you touch on any market trends or anything that you'd like to add to our conversation or discussion today for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I want to advocate is, when I got started, there were 900 agents. We're up over 4,000 agents now.
Oh my gosh, a lot of competition.
A lot of competition, but not a tremendous amount of experience.
All right, obviously we're out of time. Thank you for tuning in, and we will visit with you next week.
Talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton.